This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, there was Sam Cooke with A Change Is Gonna Come. And of course, he's here in the studio with us, Dr. George Lee, consultant neurologist.
Good afternoon.
Dr. Robin Gonzaga, our psychiatrist. Welcome back. You did the show with us on e-cigarettes, I remember.
I did. Thank you very much for having me back.
You are most welcome, George. Thank you for coming on time.
Thank you. It's a very hot day out there. It's like, you know, and we're having a hot topic. And it's like, you know, 37 degrees out there. And I'm sure that, you know, when people start talking about this or fathering a child at an older age, mm-hmm. it's going to be a hot topic.
But heat does affect sperm production in general, regardless of age, doesn't it?
It takes mirror to work that out.
It does.
So cool those pants out there when you're in the heat. Mm.
All right.
Well, there's an interesting little anecdote about heat affecting sperm production. Have you heard of Gordon Ramsay, this famous kitchen chef?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He had issues with fertility.
Yes.
And it was put down to the fact that because he was in the kitchen and all the kitchen fires are at waist height level. Right?
Yeah. So they are well documented. Association between bakers, who have smaller kind of like sperm counts, you know, like lower sperm counts.
Cyclists as well, isn't
it? Yeah, cyclists. Mm. And then, well, I think Gordon Ramsay's is nature's way of preventing him from multiplying.
I was just going to say.
Well, he's had four children, and I saw this interview about, you know, where he talked about issues with infertility, and it was put down to the fact that he was too close to the kitchen stove, so he had the levels raised, apparently.
Right. And then after that,
went on to have three more kids.
Right. It's as simple as that.
That's right. It's just a slight elevation.
Yes. Okay, Swedish study carried out, just published in the JAMA Psychiatry. Am I saying that correct? Is that JAMA, Dr. Rabin?
Yes.
Is that how you say it? Okay. And 2.6 million people, that's a lot of people who participated in the survey, I thought at least.
Well, they don't think they actively participated. What they did is they looked at the records of 2.6 million people over a period of time from 1973 through to
2001.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. And so it's a cohort study. So it's not as a, I guess, watertight as a, as a double-blind trial in that sense. But it still gives us, you know, very valuable information about the topic, which is child health problems and, you know, father's age.
Mm-hmm. Well, essentially, you know, what we're talking about, you know, thanks for picking this topic, Mira, because for a change, Mira actually thought that this will be a hot topic for Friday.
Well, what caught my eye is this headline.
The sperm.
No, the headline that says, "Men beware, your sperm may not be aging as gracefully as you are."
All right. Mm. That's a good way of putting it, really, isn't it? Okay. So essentially, it's a wide range of disorders, problems in school-age children that has been linked to delayed fatherhood in major study involving millions of people.
Yep.
Well, actually, I don't think that study is too difficult to do, considering that how many older men marrying a younger woman and then in order to have children. Yeah, so do you think that might be something that can consider?
But you know what? When I read it yesterday, and I did it as a talk set in the 4 o'clock hour, I was reluctant to actually do it because I would be an alarmist in a way to all these men who, you know, are already fathers who are older and to those who are not married and past that age. It would get them worrying, actually. Mm.
It's supposed to be 35 years of age, which is supposed to be the cutoff, so to speak.
It's the same for the women, isn't it?
I guess.
35, maybe,
yeah.
Ideally, you should by the age of 35. Mm. So old means 35 and above?
Apparently.
So we're all quite old here.
Very.
So the interesting thing I thought this study particularly has is that looking at men, obviously father-child, and then, you know, I would think that people will look at associations with cancer, association with, you know, other genetic conditions. But, you know, they're focusing on specific things. Here it is. It's that autism is more than three times more likely for older father.
Yeah.
13-fold increase in the risk of ADHD, double the risk of psychotic disorder, 25 times more likely to have bipolar disorder, 2.5 times more likely to have suicide behavior or problems with drugs, and lower school scores. Mm-hmm. So that's why Rabin is here in order to tell us, is that true? Is that what you observe? And also perhaps, you know, the public in Klang Valley can actually call in to say, do you believe that older men will actually cause, their kids to be a little bit bit more, in a way, kind of like, you know, doing worse.
What? If you're an older father, give us a call. I want to know what your experience has been. You know.
All right. I think that's a good way.
Known, and as Dr. Rubin and I were talking about off air earlier, the report also says the benefits far outweigh the risks of older men having children. That was quite interesting.
Yeah, if I may say, the actual incidence of what they talk about, you know, and if I can just pick two of them in particular, bipolar disorder and attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, ADHD, 25-fold increase in bipolar and a 13-fold increase in ADHD. Now, we've got to actually understand that the actual incidence or the prevalence of these conditions are already small.
Yes.
So when we look at an increase, okay, that's I mean, 25 times and 13 times is quite substantial. But we've also got to understand that there are so many different factors that have also got to be considered, and this is just one of them. Mm-hmm. So I don't want anyone to get too alarmed about the fact that, you know, they fathered a kid over the age of 35 and, you know, having to feel that they need to run out and have all their children tested straight away. Or yeah.
Well, first of all, do you believe this study? I mean, there's a professor of psychology, psychiatry said, of course, we can't really base all our decisions on one study. And, yeah. You know, some others said this is a tip of the iceberg. We open up, you know, a Pandora's box, actually pointing out that the finger shouldn't just be pointing to the ladies and should be pointing to both men as well. And essentially, this is what we go back into the infertility issues many, many years ago, you know, when all the fingers were just pointing at the women. Mm-hmm. And later on, we found out that, you know, up to 40% of infertility is actually male-orientated or combined couples-orientated. So is this a tip of the iceberg, or do you think this study is complete? Waste of time?
No, I don't think it's a complete waste of time, but what is the name of this program? The bigger picture. Well, let's look at the bigger picture.
I couldn't resist that, but let's look at the bigger picture.
I think it is just one of the factors that we need to look at, I think, in addition to lots of other different things, such as maybe the environment that we live in, the food that we eat, the kind of upbringing that we have in this day and age, the electronic items that we're exposed to, that you and I perhaps weren't exposed to when we were younger. And all these things are also associated with certain difficulties, such as learning difficulties, perhaps even ADHD. Mm-hmm. So there's lots of different factors, and I think this is just one of them. But I think because it involves genetics, I think it needs to be taken fairly seriously.
Fairly serious. Yes.
And that is interesting, because we haven't quite come to that as to why we're saying that, you know, delayed fatherhood could bring about these problems. And it has to do with something called sperm mutation. Now, George, my understanding of the female egg and the male sperm has always been the female egg starts to age at a very, very young age. From the time I think we start to ovulate, am I correct? It starts to age, yes.
And I don't know anything about women,
I know,
sorry.
Oh, gosh, I know. I'm not going to see anyone.
Right,
anyway.
Okay, right.
And hence the reason they tell you to try and have your children before the age of 35.
Right.
Having said that, not to say you can't, but ideally you should.
Sorry, may I just say something? Sorry to interrupt you. Aging is one thing, but I also think the issue of fertility comes in over the age of 35, because it's not so much, you know, the fact that the eggs age, but they decrease in number and you don't get so many of them. So it might be more difficult to conceive. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure if it's just only about aging. I mean, what do you think?
Well, both fertility, presumably you have more mutated age eggs, and then fertility become an issue, mm-hmm. and also, you know, deformity become an issue as well as older.
Problems,
yeah,
okay.
Problems, yeah.
All right, so then if we come to the
sperm.
The sperm, yes. You have told me before that the sperm regenerates.
That's
every,
right.
How many days?
Well, actually every 16 days, yeah. You get new batch of sperms coming out, and then, you know, from the germ cells. And in fact, can you believe we produce 100 million sperms per day? You know, so, you know, the stem cell continues, you know. So with that, surely we are, we begin to see some of them are deformed. If you look at the WHO analysis of sperms, what's considered healthy, you need more than 15 million per male. You need 40% of them moving actively, mm-hmm. and then you also need only 4% of them to be normal form. So imagine 96% not normal and 4% of them normal.
Yeah.
So you can see that mutation is multiplying so fast at 100 million per day. surely majority of them actually are not that healthy. It's only the 4% that's healthy perhaps might actually race to the eggs. And then so what this study is showing is that, okay, you know, we have that machinery, the spermatogenesis that's happening. However, when a man aged and then that machinery becomes a little bit tired, that, you know, that DNA multiplication becomes a bit tired and that mutation occur. And this is my understanding of the study from JAMA, which look at the clinical side, and another study recently published in the Nature, also looking at the scientific side.
That's right. So hence, you know, I've always believed that men could continue to have or sort of get their wives pregnant even when they're 60s. I mean, and I said earlier, Rod Stewart, you know, Paul McCartney, all of them have done it in their 60s. Right.
Well, yes, I mean, for the simple fact that women go into menopause at a certain age and men don't obviously have that, you know,
right.
that issue.
But the impression I had is the men were safe. You know, you don't really have to worry. You can still go on and have children, whereas the women were at a higher risk.
So but after this study, not anymore.
Yeah. So what do you mean by a mutation? What's actually going on?
Right, okay. I mean, if you actually see that, you know, the replications, you know, to get your genetic material passed on, then you get to have the DNA replicated continuously. So that machinery, let's say below age of 40, it's performing beautifully. So every single replication has not been problematic. However, when it ages, based on one specific study based in Oxford, that that occur. That means that, you know, for the Alport syndrome, which is a bony orthopedics condition, this is how they begin to realize that the multiplications of the sperm actually mutate. In a bigger picture, it doesn't really show any problems. However, when it mutates on specific genes, and that's when it becomes problematic. So from that study, they look into it a little bit further and found out that actually, hang on a minute, actually this is a true phenomenon, and then it actually affects more psychological and psychiatric conditions, mm-hmm. and also, you know, kind of like ADHD and that sort of medical conditions.
Well, I mean, may I just add something to that? Because that study that you talk about in the New Scientist talks but a very specific mutation for Alport syndrome.
That's right.
And that is it's a one-off mutation that actually leads to the expression of the disorder. But in situations like ADHD, bipolar, autism, there is no one single mutation. It is postulated to be due to many different mutations which act together in kind of synchrony to sort of lead to the expression of the disorder,
which makes it so difficult to find out causes or reasons as to why this comes to be.
Well, the interesting part of that, this can open up an avenue for scientists to look at, you know, so what sort of mutations men's sperms have, and then perhaps what genes are affected, and that might actually subsequently cause what sort of psychiatric or psychological conditions.
Mm-hmm. I think it's quite difficult, isn't it?
Yeah, and also the interest in the genetic mutations also will need to lead to better treatment options in the future, because we can target quite specific issues when we look into treatment options.
Oh, I have a question for both of you. After reading this, would you consider having a baby at this age? Yes, you,
well,
George.
Yeah, I'm 45, okay. That
way
means
past
that,
the age.
Way past age. Truthfully, I don't believe this study.
Really?
Correct. You know, like, come on, this
That's
is coming out of
very
nature.
Controversial,
right? Okay, because we talk about David Bowie, you know, having a child at 61 and then that sort of thing. And then, Rabin was right that, in a bigger scale of things, we're looking at 25-year-old man having 1% chance of produce an autism child, for example. Then if you look at three times, then at the age of 45, you're looking at 3%. So I think it's all statistical, and then I think it's odds. I really think men's sperm, there's so many, and then it's all chances. So I don't think men should rush out there and worry about, not having a kid at age of 45, because I think, we designed that way that at older age, we can still have healthy kids like that. So I don't know. So I want to put that to the to the listeners. What do they think? I generally don't think this study it's going to this study is going to fizzle out, and it's just an observation.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. I think it's an observation, but I think it's a piece of the jigsaw. Mm-hmm. And I think we need to look at many different factors, because we can't just point the fact at sperm production and sperm mutation at this point in time.
Right.
Do you believe this, though?
I will come back and tell you that. Our phone lines are open if you want to contribute to the conversation. We're discussing a study that just came out from Sweden, whereby it says that delayed fatherhood could bring about disorders in their offspring. If you have something to contribute, give us a call, 0377-109000. You can tweet BFM Radio or text 0162019000. Good afternoon. And if you have just joined us, well, welcome. It is Bigger Picture. It's beautiful Friday afternoon. Dr. George Lee, consultant neurologist in the studio with us, together with psychiatrist Dr. Robin Gonzaga. Welcome.
Thank you.
We're still here.
No, it's right. Okay.
You didn't go anywhere, did you? I didn't scare you. No. Haven't scared you yet. You were asking me whether I believed in the study or
That's
not.
That's right.
I think I totally agree with Dr. Robin. It is trying to put the puzzle together as much as possible, because we speak to Dr. Arif on genetics and how, they're doing research on behavioral problems, and he talks about how complicated it is, because it is just not one factor that affects things like ADHD and other behavioral issues, mm-hmm. autism and learning disabilities. It's much easier when it's just one factor to come up with gene therapy and things like that to target that one particular gene. So what crossed your mind when you came across this? Are you concerned at all, George, that some people may actually be digesting this the wrong way?
Well, actually, there are several things that I thought, if this was true, and let's say 5 to 10 years from today, we unearth all these possibilities of genetic mutations in the sperms and things, what people will do, they'll come to see urologists and actually say, look, I don't particularly think I want to have kids now. However, I would like to freeze my sperm, because of all these studies. And is this a sort of society we're going to live in the future? Because women can choose to freeze their eggs,
yes.
Because they say, I want to put my career on, first. So children comes later, because science can help us to do that. And now the evidence suggesting that, shall we do that? In fact, if you look at the study from Oxford, it is completely possible to preserve the integrity of a young sperm at that age of 25. So is this the future we're looking at? That scares me a little bit, because if this was true, I think that is a sort of potentially a society that we can live in.
But don't you do that for patients with cancer?
This is the controversial part. Is this allowed for cancer, and is this not allowed for a normal person who wants to, perhaps enjoy life a little bit?
Hey,
a lifestyle choice. Enjoy life a little bit first without kids, but yet don't compromise on their kids having slightly more difficulties in having, learning the school problems and also ADHD and that sort of things. That's the first thing that troubles me a little bit. And the second that troubles me, I don't understand. And it's like, what I would like Robin to tell me is like, for ADHD and also psychotic disorder, which was described here, bipolar disorder, do you think the upbringing, the nature part plays more role, or the nurture part plays more role? Because this study, it's pointing towards nature that is, destined for the kids of the older fathers to have this. I would imagine that it's the paternal upbringing. It's like, you're an older father, you probably will be a different parent to a 25-year-old. And perhaps is that sort of like upbringing that actually will put the children having more problems with the psychological disorders?
But aren't these disabilities outright a nature problem, Dr. Robin?
Disabilities, I wouldn't necessarily call them disabilities. Disorders, well, look. The best way I can describe it to you, and this may sound somewhat simplistic, is to sort of look at someone who is diabetic.
Right.
Essentially, they have an issue with their pancreas or with the usage of insulin in their body. Okay, so it's a biological problem. It's an organic problem. It's to do with an organ, yeah? People with ADHD, bipolar disorder, depression, and they do have an organic problem. It's to do with their brain. Unfortunately, at this point in time, we haven't identified specifically, where the actual problem is in, you know, but we have a pretty good idea, but we're coming close to the fact that, you know, identifying locations in the brain and pathways and what have you. But I would agree with you that nurture has an effect in terms of the expression of the disorder. For example, someone with ADHD can be managed well by parents who are understanding and who have a knowledge of the disorder and know how to parent a child and how to, you know, sort of, you know, help him on his way. And, you know, and the same thing would apply for a bipolar disorder. But I don't think nurture itself would cause these disorders to occur. It is purely a biological
phenomenon. So in a simplistic way, what you're describing is perhaps there are problems in the background, problems in the brain already.
Yes.
However, it's the upbringing or nature or something in your environment that actually tipped you over to actually suffer from the condition.
Yes. Right. Let me give you an example. Let's say someone with ADHD who has impulsivity problems. Now, what distinguishes a child who has ADHD who has impulse control problems from stealing versus a child who has impulse control problems who doesn't steal?
Right.
Now, it could be purely biological, but I would suspect, you know, nurture has got something to do with it. Not that his parents are encouraging him to steal, but perhaps the environment that he's brought in has not addressed his impulsivity, you know, issues sufficiently so that, you know, he just goes out and does whatever he feels he wants to do. So that part of it, you know, could explain some of the expression.
That's interesting, because what I'm going to say is probably going to upset the younger fathers, but the older fathers apparently are more tolerant, more self-confident.
They have more money.
Yeah, they have more money. So they have more stable career. They have more money. So do you think
more
that is...
more likely to take regular responsibility for younger children, you know.
So do you think that smothering is actually putting them, tip them off to have ADHD?
See, it all boils down to the money
that's
issue.
That's right. So at the end of it, it's being smothered, isn't it? You blame your parents for everything.
Hi, Zakir. How are you today?
Hi, Mira. How's it going?
Hi, Zakir. Okay.
I have a question.
Yes.
Okay. If a cyclist, let's say you said the cyclist chances of getting a baby is very slim. If he stops cycling, does it improve his chances of getting babies?
All right. Okay. Actually,
thanks, Zakir. Thank
right.
you.
Okay. Wait. Before Zakir, you go. Okay. Are you a father?
Yes, I am.
All right, okay. Are you an older father or are you a younger father? Cut off age 35.
I'm 46.
Over 46.
Grown-up children.
All right,
so
okay.
He was a young father.
All right, he's a young father. Do you believe in this study?
Yes, I do.
All right, okay. Older father probably will have more problematic children.
Okay.
All right, okay. That's interesting.
Thank you, Zakir.
Okay.
May I make a recommendation, Zakir? Just use lots of padding.
Padding. Or cooling padding in your perineum.
Okay. An ice pack?
Yeah, well, actually, funny you say that. Actually, yes. You know, my patients show me prostate-friendly paddings for cyclists.
Sorry.
Yeah, sorry. Apparently, because prostatitis is more common in cyclists. And so apparently now we can get these, prostate-friendly cycling paddles. Right. So that's a good, or peas, you know, frozen peas in between. But actually, you know, the statement you make to say that, you know, less likely to father a child is incorrect because the sperm count is lower doesn't mean that you are less likely to father a child. And when you stop cycling, you know, that regeneration of 100 million per day will come in very shortly and no problem later.
Okay. And LTY, how are you today?
Hello. Good afternoon, Mira.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Dr. George and Dr. Ravin.
Ravin.
Yeah.
How are you all?
Okay.
Well,
good,
thank you. Anyway, I'm too old to talk about this, but let me give my opinion.
Okay.
Yes. I have three children. The eldest gave birth was when I was 31, then subsequent 33, then 35. That is where
young father.
I stopped at 35. Okay, but anyway, nevertheless, I give my opinion, all right? I believe as the senescence or age, there will be more mutation such as cancer and defective DNA, mm-hmm. which eventually this will affect the newborn. Let's face it, all right?
Okay, but, I mean, this is exactly what the study says.
Let me see. But my advice to listeners, eat more crab and sea cucumber, which they have really studied, you know, it gives you the oomph for your sperm, all right? Okay. And don't worry about age, okay?
Thank you, LTY.
Keep on producing.
Bye-bye. Thanks.
Sea cucumber, right? Okay, and crabs.
Okay. I didn't know that.
What if you're vegetarian?
Yeah. What if you're allergic
cucumber.
To
sea cucumber as well?
Yeah. What happened if you have allergic reaction to shellfish? Yeah. So then you're doomed.
Is that old wives' tales?
Allergic reaction to shellfish?
Yeah. No, I'm talking about crabs and you know sea cucumber.
I've never heard that one before.
Yeah, neither have I.
That's interesting.
Earlier on, we spoke about the whole. You know, sperm sort of, you said, you know, you've got trillions. How many millions?
100 million.
100 million, that's a lot of. At the same time, you have men who have, who are azoosperma.
That's right.
Who have absolutely none.
Okay, yeah.
How do you explain that?
And also,
there is this study that shows that the quality of sperm is actually dropping across the world. And
that's
we don't really know why, but probably due to environmental.
There's a conspiracy happening somewhere.
Everyone should wear kilts. All men should put on a kilt. Yes, yes. You know, go to Scotland, buy a kilt.
Scotland's going to vote for independence in September. Yes. You know, that might change again.
And their fertility rates are way up there.
Maybe it's because, you know, less men are wearing kilts these days. Maybe that's a reason, right?
Possibly. Kilts and sarongs.
You don't have to go to Scotland, you have the sarong.
That's right. Actually, nobody can explain that. Some people blame the pesticides. Some people blame, you know...
Environmental factors.
Yeah, just blame the parents. You know, that will be fine. So it's
and tight... well, you would probably know more about this, like tight underwear, apparently, because of the temperature issues, right?
Yes. Okay, yeah. I mean, there are multiple issues. I mean, Rabin was talking about electronics these days, you know, that sort of thing. And then they do play a role as well because the reductions in the sperm productions actually it's quite sensitive to not just temperature, its environment, the toxin that we're ingesting. So, you know, so it's a very sensitive organ.
So then why are we talking about this? It can be anything, God.
That's why I said I don't really believe it.
Basically, don't put your mobile phone in your trouser pocket, right?
Yeah.
I'm sitting on my mobile at the moment.
Yes, because it rang just
that's
now.
Right, yes. Indeed, that's right.
We have Dr. Rabin and Dr. George Lee in the studio with us. If you have a question for them, send it through 03-77-109-000. Give us a call. Our phone lines are open. We'll be back right after the market update on BFM 89.9.
This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Good afternoon, and we're now final part, trying to conclude this whole Swedish study on delayed fatherhood and psychological disorders amongst the children. You know, George, you wanted to go through some famous fathers.
Yes, absolutely.
Celebrity dads.
Yes, celebrity dad. Yeah. David Bowie, right? Okay, we all know David Bowie. You know, a father at age of 53, mm-hmm. not old enough. Let's look at another person. Steve Martin, age of 67. You know, but the doctor said it's absolutely fine. You know, just went ahead. Des O'Connor, you know, probably not too famous. You know, but you know, he did a lot of chat shows. 72. Mm-hmm. Yeah, initially singers, and then later Paul McCartney, 61. Wow. You know, so what are the sort of typical characteristics that perhaps these, you know, famous fathers have? I think simple...
Money.
Yeah, money. That's right. Okay. I guess,
what are you implying about the
women? What I'm saying is that, you know, like a lot of people will probably conclude that, you know, Rabin was saying, perhaps there are some elements of nature, okay, right, you know, perhaps that mutation is responsible for something that's wrong in there, but it has to be a certain degree of nurture that is doing this. So it's either is over smothering with money, or perhaps not really focused too much on the kids' upbringing that maybe conclude this. So this is my kind of like take on this. I just think that, you know, at the end of the day, okay, every one of us has certain risk of having a child who may have these disorders that were listed. However, I think a lot of the time, you know, the parentings and things like that come into play as well. And I really think that we ought to focus on that. What do you think?
Dr. Rabin, I have just one more question. With the demographic change now in our society, do you not think that we could expect higher rates of disorders like this anyway?
Well, that's a question I'm asked quite often, actually, and there are many different ways of answering that. And one is that these things could be just being diagnosed more efficiently or picked up better, perhaps. You know, a lot of the things have always been there. It's just that they may not have been identified. But yeah, I would imagine that in the urban areas, there seems to be an increase to some extent of, you know, various different disorders. But it could be just that people congregate more in the urban areas and when there's more stress. But it doesn't mean that stress is producing these things. It just might already be there. Yeah.
In your practice, do you think you're seeing more and more cases, you know, children with ADHD, you know, bipolar, psychosis?
Yes. Interestingly, I am seeing kids with ADHD, and I think that's remained fairly constant. But the interesting part is that I'm seeing more and more adults who come up saying that they have ADHD. Mm-hmm. Having done the research and looked on the internet and taken these weird tests on the internet and everything else, and want to, you know, to sort of confirm the diagnosis. And more often than not, in 50% of the cases, you find that it's not ADHD; it's actually something else. And and sometimes they're just relieved to, you know, to know that it's not ADHD and that they, and that, you know, they can address the other issues. But yeah, I would say more adults seem to come up to me, but that's just my practice. If I was a child psychiatrist, mm-hmm. you know,
you'd
purely,
probably see more.
Sure. Yeah.
Do you think children inherit more mutations from their mothers or their fathers?
Well, from this study, it says that previously it's always blame on the mothers. But the thing is that this study is pointing the finger at the sperms as well. So, personally, I think... I probably get stoned. I agree with you. I think the eggs probably be more responsible for it. I don't know. I think it's impossible to work it out.
May I just say that 50% of our genetic material comes from our mothers and 50% comes from our fathers. So
it has to be equal share.
No brainer there, really.
Right.
What are you talking about then, George?
Well, because your question was pointing out, so said, look, you know, is this just more mother? And I think the eggs, you know, this study actually this study actually pointing out that the younger mother and then
older men.
Yes, so it's very difficult to kind of like it's just pointing out specifically that younger mother and older men.
Okay.
Yeah. Which is, I think, a very easy study to do in Malaysia as well, right? I would imagine.
It is dangerous.
It is pretty easy to just find a demographic of the old kind of like a, you know, that sort of offspring.
May I just say to all the older fathers out there, I think you shouldn't panic. Don't go, you know, sort of get into a state because you've had a child at a late age. I think it's a multifactorial issue. It's not just about, you know, paternal age and sperm quality. I think it's about a lot of other things.
Paul McCartney's have no problems, you will have no problem.
I mean, and should you decide whether or not, you know, you want to have children just on just one single study, you know, like this? I don't know. I wouldn't, at least.
Stop having children just because of this study?
Yeah.
No, I don't think it will have that sort of impact. I think the real impact for me is that it will get men to start thinking that, well, it may be true, it may not be true. Since we have the technology to freeze sperms, why don't we do that? And that really scares me a little bit because, you know, at the moment, we don't have too many people who freeze their eggs or their sperms for lifestyle purposes. Mm-hmm. And I really think that in the future, we're looking into a society, potentially we may have that because people are so worried about potential problems in the future and then they started preserving their genetic material earlier on. Right. Because it's not too expensive to do that.
I guess being a business station, there's a business opportunity there.
Yes.
Oh, freeze this space.
So freeze this space.
Dr. Prashant is in here at the moment.
That's right. What do you think about society like that?
I think we will eventually get there.
Yeah. We will.
I think eventually both men and women will end up freezing their, you know,
their embryos together.
We're already freezing the sperm and the eggs. We're already freezing cord.
The cord banks.
Yeah.
So I think it's just a matter of time before, you know, people are just going to, you know, exercise their options just to be on the safe side.
Yes.
Let's just freeze some sperm, you know, for the sake of.
And when we continue to have shows like this, I think more and more people would. It gets you thinking about a whole load of issues.
I have problems with that. You know,
why?
I don't know. I said, you know,
you're the optimist. And I'm the pessimist. It's always the case.
Well, you know, like you in the very beginning, you said that, you know, but people do that for cancer. You know, I think for medical reasons and do that, I think it's a valid kind of reasons to do it. However, for lifestyle, it actually, and what does it say about a society when you kind of put children on hold? You can more or less treat offspring as a commodity that you can actually, you know, preserve for a while in a time capsule and then carry on later on, because having children is this kind of, it should be a natural way of, you know, enjoying
but
that.
But that's already been done with, you know, with IVF, where embryos are frozen for
exactly.
later use yeah. and what have you.
And don't you treat your child like a commodity, George. I mean, he's yours. You're doing everything, you know, he's yours.
Until 18. That's right. He's my commodity.
That is
18.
Commodity as well.
I worry about the pair of you.
Because, you know, in the future, in the market updates, we're going to have, you know, commodities of certain sperms, that kind of, that sort of thing. It's, I don't think that's the right thing, but it's an interesting observation. But you
well,
know,
if you go to a sperm bank and you want to be a donor, you know, there's a cutoff age where they will not let you be a donor.
I think it's
30, I think it is. Something like that.
Actually,
but we don't have that.
We don't have too many cutoff, but majority of them are under 25.
Right.
Yeah. Mm.
Okay. But you know, the both of you didn't do any justice to the older father. All you said was they had a whole load of money. Come on, yes, there's more to that. Don't you think they're more responsible?
Money, experience, yeah. responsibility. Mm. And, you know, I mean, you know, quite frankly, I don't think most people would want to have kids at an older age, because, you know, kids take up a lot of your energy and your time, and you've got to be there for them. So the older you are, the less energy you have to run around after a toddler, really.
Yeah, that applies both to the man and the woman, really. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
So, George, number three?
Coming soon.
Okay.
Right.
He has no issues with it because he's got a lot of money. Right. Thank you both for joining me today. Dr. George Lee and Dr. Robin Gonzaga, psychiatrist on The Bigger Picture BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.